Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Football Friday, brought to you by Video Only, getting you ready for the football weekend.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems.
Football Friday on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. If you don't, you'll be sorry. On 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. It's Football Friday.
Red 85, Fat Hot.
We got games on tonight. Excited for them. We got a full slate tomorrow. Continues into Sunday and Monday night. Lots to break down, lots to preview as we begin hour three of the first official Football Friday of the year.
Andrew, football is great because I love it. And football is also a little sad because every weekend, especially once the NFL hits, it just feels like it makes my day. I lose the day.
Everything goes fast, right?
Like tomorrow is going to be wake up kind of early, probably get a super light workout, watch my Nottingham Forest beat the Tottenham Spurs, suck at Swigard.
I'm just hoping our the Spurs can score a goal.
I'm just hoping you watch, to be honest. Like, at that point, just watch.
I will be up
with me on the text. Yes. Make Dirt annoyed that there's football.
I'll be up tomorrow. Some of us work on Saturday.
I think that's a USA game, is it not?
And then 9 a.m. kick, which is going to go right into the Oregon kick.
Right into that.
Which is going to go right into 4:30 Clemson. And it's going to be like, dude, Saturday's over.
And it's going to go
UCLA
fast.
UCLA, you know, Cal, at night. Yeah,
exactly.
If you're still awake,
my wife's
or sober.
Like, are we not making sweet love? And I go, I am, but like UCLA Cal is on. You don't understand what this
means. It's a one-score game in the fourth quarter right now. I don't have the time nor the attention.
And then Sunday's going to hit. It's going to be like, we got an Apple Cup, and now I'm going to Lambeau with Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and I hope this is a close game because Dirt poo-pooed it, and he watched an FCS game, but he poo-pooed Lambeau Field with a college football game, and now Sunday's over. And now all I got is Monday. And it's my last day with my kids before they go back to school.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
And then the NFL begins next Wednesday and Thursday.
It's crazy.
And then we get Friday and then Saturday
Christmas.
And then Sunday. And then it's Halloween. And then it's over.
Now it's 2027.
What the hell happened around here? I want to continue on the Oregon Boise game a little bit. We'll get back into Oregon State and Houston. Some audio to revisit from Jamarcus Shepherd, who was on our show yesterday. But a little bit of news in the sports world just quickly. Not that we need to spend a ton of time on it, but I will let you both opine if you would like. The WNBA commissioner is resigning. Least surprising news of all time?
Retiring.
Now,
to be fair,
retiring.
Not
I'm sure there was a golden parachute involved.
Absolutely resigning.
She's
quitting her job.
You're going to get fired, or you can retire and you can get your payout and all that.
If she holds another job, I'm going to remember the phrasing retirement here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should. I mean, I don't buy it either.
Nobody's believing you.
I would just say this. Great for the league. You don't have to. I disagree with largely almost her entire approach to everything, and clearly the players did not like her.
Yes.
She deserves a little credit. Like, the league has jumped, and you can say, well, that's player-led. I don't disagree, but if
has she done anything to make the league better?
Well, no, but like,
she oversaw, I mean, when she
has no credit over college players getting better, right?
No.
Or the college game getting more entertaining?
What she oversaw was more the expansion. I don't know how many.
You still have a couple that
teams
are
they expanded
about to happen again
during her tenure.
Detroit, I think Cleveland's going to be back here soon. Toronto, Portland
just
happened.
Did Cleveland just get a team?
They're having a team come back next season or the year after. Here's what
she
I was
started
saying.
In 2019 was her start date as commissioner.
Like 10 teams at that point?
All you can do is give – if we're going to give some commissioners credit for stuff like that, you have to give her credit. But, again, largely not respected by the players. I don't believe she has handled any of these non-WNBA media conversations in any way.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna look at me in the eye and tell me that David Stern's a genius because he made it about the name on the back because Bird and Magic came into the league, I have to give her some credit to a certain degree on the expansion of the league, the media rights deal she got, the more money they've ever made. Again, you can give the players the credit. other than that, this is good news for the league.
So I was just looking up how many teams and when they all started playing. And according to this Wikipedia search, since 2019, there's only three teams that have been added to the league.
I mean, but that's okay. Not an easy thing.
Oh, I'm not saying it is. Now. I just was curious. I didn't know where the league was officially at on that. Now, they
so
might
have
more.
You had the Valkyrie, you had Portland, and you had Toronto.
Those are the only things that I'm seeing.
But you have Cleveland.
Two more are coming.
That are on Detroit, the way. I think, are on the way.
Cleveland, Detroit, and Philadelphia.
Philly, thank
they won't
you.
Be until 2030.
That's what it is.
That's
yeah.
kind of weird. 28,
but I mean,
29,
that's three
30.
More that you can say, yeah. well, those happened under the umbrella.
Yeah, I just, this was a pretty easy thing to see, I think, coming from a mile away. And it's absolutely the right call by the WNBA. And now maybe you could get somebody who can get out in yeah. front of narratives. And I don't know, there was always the idea of just kind of... She's causing such a bad distraction for the league in terms of things that she would say or do that would not...
I was surprised
good upon the
it
league.
Didn't happen with the new CBA agreement.
Yeah.
That's when I thought she would have been.
I was like, I thought the players were going to demand that as part of it.
When Collier came right. out publicly and was
oh,
like,
oh, they were dumping all
she
over.
She is a piece of crap. I yeah. was like, well, that's over. So it's not shocking.
Yeah, it's just not a surprise there. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert is retiring or resigning, however you want to view it. She will not be the commish anymore. And we wait to see who the next one will be. But there's enough on the old Football Friday docket. Oregon and Boise State tomorrow. We just got to talking about that game a little bit. Certainly expectations are sky high for my program this year in Boise State. You know, Boise State, to their credit, man, they have always been a thorn in the side of Oregon, no matter how good or bad Oregon teams are, where you're playing them, at what time of the year, whether it's a bowl game or the first game of the year. There's a bit of history there that has not gone well for Oregon until they beat them a couple of years ago. It was the first time they had ever beaten Boise State. They were 0-4, I think, against them. Two regular season games and two bowl games over the years. And so this has been a thorn in their side. Boise State understands. I thought Danielson had a great quote earlier this week. He was like, we don't have to play Oregon every week. We just got to play them once.
Yep.
And you just got to show up with one good game, and you get a slow start from Oregon, and next thing you know, things get uncomfortable as the game goes on. What are you most looking forward to seeing from Oregon this weekend?
You know, you mentioned the defensive line. The way the game happened last time they played a couple years ago with Oregon struggling against Idaho and then going into that game, and you're like, all right, surely they're going to turn it around. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Ashton Gentry's running for 70 yards here. I don't expect that game in any way. And the way you mentioned the defensive line is the way that I will mention the return of Evan Stewart paired with Dante Moore. They just launched a Heisman website for him.
They did. Heismoore.com.
Which, when you read it, it's Heisman Moore, yeah. right? Like, that's how it looks. I expect Dante Moore to come in and, like, off the get. They're probably going to be able to run the ball, no problem, even with an offensive line that we kind of question.
That'll be one of the bigger things to keep an eye on early in the game. Boise's experience on their defensive line. They don't love their depth at D-tackle, but they like both of their edge rushers. And so as the game goes on, you'll be able to wear them down and grind them down into the ground. But new starters, a cohesive unit, right. maybe a freshman starting, is that something that Boise can make interesting early in the game?
I think Dante, my expectations are Dante comes out and grabs the reins and goes, no, this season's going to be a little different for me. He had a good year last year. He certainly went into potential number one pick territory, but as we noted during the season and the offseason, there were some big games that he struggled in and looked a little non-confident in. So this is not the biggest of the games on their schedule, but this is game one of a big, massive season. Don't have an Idaho game. Don't come out and have us go, whoa, is this team good? I expect him to come out there from the get and just sling the rock, have no issues whatsoever offensively. We don't talk about the play calling at all because I just think the talent gap between even a Boise State, who is well-respected and may be the G6 representative, and Oregon year 5 Dan Lanning should be sizable enough to come out and not need have a slow start and need a couple breaks their way to get past them this time. So I expect Dante Moore to come out and look all the hype of the Heisman conversation.
There is an aspect, too, for me of, like, Boise has been such a pain in our ass over the years. Like, we owe them an ass-kicking. Like, at some point, we got to get them, and we got to get them. Because even the first time you beat Boise, it's like that was kind of a fluky, lucky
you
win.
You escaped.
With a kick return and a punt return. That's the only one we got. And so at some point, right, we got to take Boise back behind the woodshed and deliver considering how good the program's been for how long it's been. And both of them have been at the top of their respective conferences for quite some time. time. There's no doubt about that. Maybe that's tomorrow. Maybe the history continues. And if it does continue, just mark my words, my takeaway on Monday, if this is a close, uncomfortable
game.
That's
what I was going to ask. What is the takeaway Monday?
I mean, I'm not
going
to freak out. Yeah, we won't have a show
struggle.
Monday. I'm not going to freak out because Indiana damn near lost to Old Dominion in game one. The last time Oregon got off to a slow start, they then went 13-0 and won the Big Ten, right? And everybody 2 games into the season said, this team sucks, ha, 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 ha. And then they went 13-0 and won the Big Ten. Obviously not ending the way you wanted it to in the playoffs. The biggest takeaway for me will be I don't ever want to play them again. I'm done. If this is another uncomfortable, like, just never, Rob, I'm calling you right now. Rob, stop it. Stop scheduling Boise. There's no benefit to it.
Well, never go to
Nobody
Boise
gives,
again.
We're not going there anymore. That at least
ago,
is the saving grace.
In the face at Boise.
That's at least the saving grace here is we don't have to go play on that blue turf anymore. But yeah, that will just, there will be something of like, I don't know what it is in the universe of Oregon and Boise. I just want nothing to do with that game anymore. Please don't schedule it. We don't get a ton of credit for beating Boise. If it's close, everybody asks what's wrong with our program. It's just no.
So if you blow them out, you still don't want to schedule them again.
I still have that philosophy, yeah. When
really?
They scheduled this
There's
one,
so
I'm like,
great fans that love to come over here and
hey,
watch Boise
it's
play.
No
and...
animosity towards the Boise fan base. They all seem like wonderful people. I've heard Boise's a beautiful town. It's an incredible program. It's just to the idea of like, if you're going to play a team that's of that talent level,
yeah,
I'd rather play somebody maybe a hair above it that I get more credit for beating, if that makes sense.
So like, if Cal.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a real, they're in a power conference. No disrespect to the Pac-12. Even if Cal isn't even better than Boise State,
there's a little more juice to that win.
Power four win. Boom.
The takeaway will be you beat a G6 team.
Yeah.
If you blow them out, you're not going to get a lot of credit for that.
You might have to go schedule UMass.
We might have. I mean, at this point,
careful,
UMass
though.
Might be the best team in college football. I just don't want Pop Watson coming in Autzen Stadium anytime soon. I will give you a brief warning because I feel like this is going to become the next in this iteration of things. Did you know Bo and Tez are brothers? Did you know that? Are you aware
Wait,
of that?
Are you talking about Bo Nix?
Bo Nix
and
Tez Johnson. Do you know they're brothers? Do you know that they adopted Tez?
One's a white guy, one's a black guy.
That's
are they brothers?
Makes it such a great American story, is it not?
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Kumbaya.
Now, I don't know if he's going to play. One of the bigger questions I have for the game tomorrow is just how many of the young guys do we see, right? It's just an unknown. Nobody at this point a year ago was saying, hey, D'Arre Hill's going to turn into a nice feature home run hitter back for you, right? Or Jordan Davidson
wasn't getting much of
your
a
number one guy. Yeah. We knew Finney was a highly rated recruit. We didn't know Finney was going to be your number one cornerback for the rest of the season. So there are certain question marks about which of those guys can do it. When Jet Washington gets in the game, if he gets in the game and if he has a play, just brace yourself for the next 3 years of, do you know that Kobe? That's Kobe's nephew.
I mean, that is cool.
You know, that's I mean, I'm not saying it's not cool.
There's a Jerome Bettis Jr. on Notre Dame.
How many until you get tired of it? Because the Bo and Tez story is really cool. And then you hear it 8,000 games in a row and you say, yeah, guys, we know that they're brothers. We get it. I know that that's Kobe's nephew.
Yeah.
So he was one of their highly prized recruits. I've heard good things about him in camp. How many snaps does he play tomorrow? Your guess is as good as mine. But if he gets in, mark my words, that'll be in the footnotes of Brad Nessler. There's Kobe Bryant's nephew right there, Jet Washington.
Which I would expect people like him. This is just my thought and expectation of the game. I think eventually we will get the Jet Washington note.
Yeah.
If Jet Washington
if it goes that
doesn't
way, yeah.
play.
He might be playing even in a close game, so I don't know where he's at on the depth chart.
What position does he play?
He's a safety.
Safety, okay.
Yeah. He was one of the top safeties in the country. He was wearing number 24 to honor Kobe, so that's kind of, you know, there's that going for you. So just file that one away if Oregon ends up kind of pulling away from it. I will be curious how many of those young guys end up playing, though. Tommy Tofi's probably the big one to circle on the offensive line. I think he's going to win a starting job.
How do you expect, offensive line questions are important, and they probably fly under the radar of don't get enough conversation until you have an Idaho Boise State start.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to dole out the distribution with the running backs? It's kind of what I'm also curious about.
It's a really interesting question, man.
This game is, I don't think, going to be the exact answer to the question because it's game one of a long season, but I'm fascinated to see how they share the snaps and the reps with all these guys because you're talking about a few dudes who played last year and had quite an impact when they played. D'Arre Hill was the home run hitter who, as soon as he got to the edge, see you later. Davidson's the big bruising back who could body through guys. Like, how do they dole out the snaps is kind of what I'm also curious about with Oregon in relation to tomorrow's game.
Well, and then it adds on top of that, too, like in that question and then kind of the rest of the roster as well. It's the, like, how much better have you gotten? Like, D'Arre Hill did his media availability the other day, and he talked about the main thing that he focused on all offseason was he was not good in pass pro last year. He was a guy who you could put in certain packages. You knew you could give him the ball in the slot. He could, you know, break a run because he was faster than everybody on the field. But if you needed to have him in there in a pass pro, he was going to get steamrolled or not know what he was supposed to do. And that's okay. You're like, you're a true freshman. Nobody's criticizing you for that. We saw that was one of the big turnovers in the Indiana Peach Bowl. Remember, he bumped into Dante Moore's hand because his placement was off on an RPO throw, and they fumbled inside their own five-yard line and handed Indiana another touchdown. And so he talked at length about how much better he's gotten in that regard, how that was his attack point all offseason, and he's ready to showcase what he can do. And so to answer your question, it's like that's my thought going in is how much better are you in that? Are you a three-down back? Can you be a trustworthy three-down back against the best teams in the country? Because I think you're going to get a lot of De'Aaron Hill. You're going to get a lot of Jordan Davidson. There's no surprise there. Mm-hmm. This one also made my eyebrows go up. I don't know why you throw a comp like this out, because now all of a sudden my mind's going certain places. One of the guys who's been talked about a ton in camp has been Brandon Smith, who was a running back I didn't even really focus on from their recruiting class last year. I don't even think he was their top-rated running back in that class. They had another one who I believe was ranked higher than him. Everybody keeps talking about this kid, how good he looks. Oh, my God. De'Aaron Hill, at his media availability, says he reminds him of Saquon Barkley. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Saquon
Now I Barkley? Now I have baby Brock Bowers again on my team, and now I'm expecting Saquon Barkley to be our RB3.
I mean, that at least lived up to some of the hype, though.
He ended up having a great run. Like, that's who we compared him to the other day, and I'm just, here we go. So yeah. Brandon Smith is another one of those names to kind of keep an eye on. Maybe it's a guy who finds his way into that rotation early in the year.
I don't have a million examples, but one easy, quick one that I can cite just from last year is, like, I think the thing with Lanning is in recruiting and the portal, you probably have to open the idea of there's going to be a name at a position that I haven't heard.
Yeah.
I haven't given consideration to, and he might get real playing time. See Brock Thomas being the backup quarterback last year.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Yes, it was.
And Lanning is just talking as if it was, that's not shocking to me. I saw it. It's like,
he sees it every day in practice, but we don't have access to practice, and they're not talking about the backup quarterback because Dante's the starter.
So maybe that's the next Brock Thomas of, like, hey, how about this cat? He looks like Saquon Barkley, and he's a freshman.
Hell did he come from, man? A lot of interesting questions going into the game tomorrow. I will give you the last two notes I have on it. I'm really excited to see their wide receiver room. I think it has a chance, it's going to be the best in the history of the school. They've had some good players over the years. They've never had game breakers to the depth that they do this year in my mind. I think you got three guys who could all be number one wide receivers at a vast majority of colleges across the country, sans like Ohio State.
Yeah.
Evan Stewart, people have been raving about him all camp. They cannot stop talking about how good he looks. DeCorian Moore coming back for another year as the number one ranked kid out of high school 2 years ago. And quietly, Jeremiah McClellan put on a really good performance last year when everybody else kind of fell around him.
That UW catch that didn't count.
Dude, what are we doing here? He had one in the Peach Bowl at the end of the game, too, that people forget. Because it was a blowout at that point, but like a one-handed getting hung onto by the DB somehow. Like, he makes insane contested catches. And so that's just three guys at the top. I'm really excited to see how those guys play. And then the random name I'll throw at you, like just the flash moments you saw last year, you hear about what he did in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Nazir Wyatt would be the other one, who's going to be a depth edge rusher for them. He had the strip sack in the Peach Bowl. He had a sack in the UW game at the end of the season. Similar to De'Aaron Hill on the defensive side of the ball, he was basically just go get after the quarterback on third down. That's all you can do.
See ball, get ball. Yeah.
He went and put on 40 pounds of muscle, but he's a freak athlete and a guy who... I don't...
40 pounds?
I know, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I know
he
put on a ton of weight.
No, I know they say those kinds of things, and I'm like, 40 pounds is a lot of weight,
man. Dude, they have a kid, one of their freshmen, Dean Lyman, Anthony Tank Jones, who is a Alabama kid, I believe. They said since he showed up in spring, he's put on like 35 pounds. He showed up in like March and April. And they think he's going to play interior defensive line and be able to do it. It's insane what they put your body through. But Naz Wyatt, my take is, honestly, that I could see him becoming a more impactful pass rusher this year than Mateo. Like, I think he's that talented.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a third down specialist and maybe able to play on earlier downs. So, excited to kick it off, man. Our pregame show will start at 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, bright and early from Autzen. I'll have game day going. The Oregon State game will kick off at 9 a.m.
Dude, you're going to be at Autzen Stadium tomorrow. We got a game.
It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a really cool day for me, too. I'm taking the whole family down. Teddy ball game's ready to go. The wife's going. So, it'll be a big Johnson family convention down there. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm assuming you've coordinated the outfits.
So here's the thing.
Teddy got a little Mariota jersey.
Here's the thing.
He's got a little Herbie jersey.
He does have two jerseys.
Okay.
No names on the back. I'd have to go remember the years of the players.
Oh, the generic Oregon uniform.
Like number one jersey. Here's the issue that has dawned on me. So tomorrow is a stripe-out game.
Yeah.
We are sitting in a yellow section.
But you'll only have green stuff?
I have no yellow Oregon gear.
Sorry.
I mean, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I get it.
Make a trip to the,
but it has dawned on me this week of like my wife, Teddy, and I, we all look, we have Oregon gear up. It's all I wear.
No yellow.
I have not, I don't own a single piece of yellow Oregon gear.
First of all, good on you.
Yeah. Yellow doesn't look good on me.
It's not a bad color combination, but it's the worst of the two colors.
If you're going to wear one, you're picking green.
Maybe you could trade tickets with somebody in the green section who has nothing but yellow.
Oh, there we go. Not a bad idea. Just trade shirts. Do like the jersey swap going into the game.
I counted the sections wrong. I thought
hey,
we were yellow.
You're in 35. I'm in 34. You got yellow on. I got green on. Let's swap out here, man. So I got to maybe stop by the Duck Store. It'll be fun. We'll be down at Autzen Live at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. The season will kick off. It's Christmas Eve for everybody. Let's get to the other in-state school, and that is Oregon State. They begin their season tomorrow at Houston. If you missed Jamarcus Shepherd and what he had to say on our program yesterday, we'll get back to that. And what do we expect a quarterback, man? Did watching UMass with a guy named Pop change your perception on what they'll be capable of tomorrow down in Houston? A little Oregon State Houston talk next on The Fan.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. It is 8:27 on a football Friday. Thanks for being with us here.
What are we doing here?
We're talking a lot of football. That's what we're doing. Some good thoughts here on Oregon and Boise State kicking off tomorrow at 12:30. By the time that one kicks off, one game should already be wrapped up. And that is, I got my Beaver Bros next to me. Everybody's wearing their Beav gear. Swag's got his Beav gear on. You had Colorado on earlier in the show. Controversial. Your team's kicking off.
Well, okay. I just want to ask if you believe now.
I do believe now. People are tweeting us, when's Sprague going to put on his Beaver gear?
I got my Beaver hat on.
You finally put your Beaver hat on.
Well, some of us on this show actually went to Oregon State. We didn't go to Puget Sound and pretend we're Oregon State.
That is true. Also, can I – a lot of orange on that hat.
Yeah?
A lot of orange.
A lot of green on your hat.
What do you want?
I can't see. The logo blends in. The logo and the hat are the same color.
The blended beanie, Benny,
there's no black on there. There's no white on there. It's just all orange.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. Yeah. I know what it is.
Yeah.
But to the naked eye, they might not know what it is.
Now, I have paid tuition to Oregon State.
Does that count the same? Is that a countsies? Counties?
Yeah, I have my Oregon State dad t-shirts. I have an Oregon State dad whiskey glass.
Do they do dad's weekend if you go to like the Bend remote satellite campus? Do they have those at those campuses?
I don't know if there was a parents weekend or not.
Parents weekend was always odd.
Would you get after it on parents weekend?
I would if I went. Hell yeah.
Little boom boom with the co-eds. You're the dad awkwardly waking up at a sorority house. A lot of regret.
Now, from rumors, it was the moms that got after it more
mommies.
Than the dads.
The mommies love the frat boys. Yes.
The mommies love the frat boys.
The older mommies looking for the young daddies.
God bless the beaver.
Well, you guys get kicked off tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning.
You just called out my hat on the air like that.
It's just a lot of orange. It's a lot of orange.
You're wearing green on your head and your body.
Yeah. You know what it has on it? How many colors are on my hat?
Technically three.
How many colors are on my sweatshirt?
Technically three.
Yeah. Makes it a little bit easier to see the outline of the logo.
We're talking Oregon State. What do you need to see? It's orange. What more do you need? You need a black Benny?
It's a lot. I feel like Kramer right now with the chicken place outside of his room. Like, whoa, hey, whoa. It's a lot of orange over there.
To be honest, I wore my black Beav hat with the old school Benny in, you know, with the orange on him.
Yeah, it's such a good look.
It is.
Did you buy that hat?
What do you mean?
Did you buy that hat? Answer the question
truthfully.
The one
he's currently wearing?
The one you're currently wearing. Did you buy that hat or was that a gift? Answer the question.
I believe my wife bought it.
Okay.
To be fair.
Okay. I don't need any further comment.
It has the old Benny on it.
It does.
You know my stance. I don't wear the Nutria.
Yeah, this one has the Nutria on it.
I will not ever wear the Nutria.
Yeah, you got Nutria.
I've got a Benny one. I need to curl the bill. I am not a flat bill hat guy because my head is small.
Mm.
And so I have the same issue. I need to curl the bill.
Yeah, curl the bill.
Well, obviously some thoughts going into the game. Not really sure what to expect. How did this make you feel yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what. I would not recommend this for most people, and I definitely don't recommend this for our players. But I like to go into the game with a starving mindset, so I normally don't go in there. I don't usually eat before the game. So that starving mindset just keeps me hungry to keep going after it and attacking the other team.
Do you have a hungry mindset for the season over tomorrow at Houston? And will we or will we not eat any food during or before the game?
I love the answer. It's one of my favorites a coach has given us is that he doesn't eat before games for a starving mindset. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. I'm absolutely going to eat something.
You got to eat something.
I'm not coaching. Yeah. I'm not playing.
Yeah. I'm going to eat for Coach
Shepherd. There we go. You take his hunger off of him.
I will make the French toast.
Although if he loses the game, will we blame you for taking his hunger away and he lost his hunger because you ate too much French toast?
Well, you guys don't like his breakfast choice. You just weren't going to say that during the interview.
What was it, stuffed French toast?
It was strawberry stuffed French toast.
I've never had it, to be honest. Swag wouldn't eat it because he's weird, but
well,
I would...
I'll just have raspberries and blueberries, but stuffed French toast is fantastic.
I've never had stuffed French toast before.
Oh, if you do like the mascarpone cheese filling sweetened up a little bit. Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Somebody saying Oregon State beating Houston would be a bigger upset than Rutgers losing to UMass. No, it would not.
Not according to the odds makers.
The point spread of the Rutgers game last night was 29.5, nearly 30.
The Beavs have gotten to 21 at A-Lane this morning.
It has slowly ticked up. There's no doubt. I think the biggest question I have, and we'll get to your guys' thoughts, the biggest question is about this player, and here is Shepherd on his starting quarterback.
Well, when you talk about winning football, for us, we talk about, you know, our ability to generate and limit explosive plays. And so we call explosive plays any run over 10 yards and any pass over 15. So our team, we wanted to make sure we had an understanding that if you were to win that battle against the opponent, then it raises your odds of winning the football game. So our quarterback battle, we wanted to see which of our quarterbacks could produce explosive plays throughout camp. And then also, you know, taking into consideration the turnover margin, obviously that's a key indicator for winning and success in college football. So obviously that's a big part of it as well. Just who was going to take care of the ball at an extreme pace that would allow us to be successful when games come around. And so I thought Braden did an excellent job in both of those categories.
You look at his numbers last year, he was the Jerry Rice Award winner, 3,600 passing yards, 34 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He beat out a returning starter, if you will. Now, I know we don't make a lot of Malik Murphy after watching him last year, but that's still not an easy or guaranteed thing to do. And it's like, if I'm circling one thing at the top of my big board of watching tomorrow, how does this kid play? Because I think as we saw last night for UMass, you don't necessarily have to have talent that's better across the field. I'm not saying he's better than Connor Wegman tomorrow, but he can be better than other quarterbacks the rest of the way on your schedule, and that sometimes is the difference. I can't wait to watch and see what this kid can do tomorrow.
Yeah, they lost in the second round of the SCS Championships. He did not have a good game in that. He threw four picks against South Dakota, and he had two picks with 210 yards against Auburn, which is how Dahlin ended up finding him as he was playing in his state. Before that, though, just with the schedule they had, and I know the opponents, all that, like, the dude was regularly throwing more than 35 passes in a game.
Yep.
He was routinely throwing for over 300 passes in a game, or 300 yards in a game.
Right.
And his completion percentage was basically 66. So this is an efficient quarterback who is not afraid to sling the rock. He obviously was not afraid to take chances, hence some of the interception totals.
Yeah.
But 34 touchdowns, 11 picks, man. I'm looking forward to... How do you protect him while game planning for him to be aggressive is kind of a weird world I'm living in. You don't want to expose him too much and have him off to a bad start, but you know you're going to need a passing attack to speak of. Their tight ends are super experienced.
Yep.
I'm really fascinated to watch the receivers step up. And oh, by the way, you're going to have a balanced ground attack, and Houston's got some pretty good players up front. You played them last year, and every year is different for these college football rosters, but you should have won that game. Like, that was one of their more egregious choke jobs of that terrible season they had. And that team was a two-win team. So I don't know what their win-loss should be total. They're playing on the road, which is going to be difficult. But I want to see how Dahlin is structuring their offense. What's the plan of attack? Can you establish any semblance of a ground game? And can you at least put this to a point where Houston gets a little uncomfortable?
Yeah.
The fans that go to the game get a little uncomfortable. I'm not expecting him to win the game. I don't even know if I'm expecting him to cover the number. I'd just like to see a little positive momentum for them coming out and helping this first year at an FBS level quarterback feel confident about his ability to play at the level. He's beaten out the guys with the experience. So how, as a coaching staff, are they going to structure all of this for them to come out offensively and not just be an absolute dud of a performance.
I was thinking about this yesterday, knowing we were going to preview this game, and I don't know what you're going to get at quarterback tomorrow. I'm certainly intrigued by the idea, and I'm more intrigued than I would have been had Malik Murphy won the job of just like, okay, I kind of know what you got there. It's going to be a little limited. He can't really move. I've seen that before. Now, this guy might end up being worse. Who knows? Time will tell. When was the last time Oregon State fan felt good about their quarterback situation? Like had confidence in your guy, because it felt like DJ going into the year and then DJ underwhelmed, and then you thought it was obviously going to be Aiden, but that was a freshman year. He's playing one series a
Who
game.
Who was the
and
guy
transfers.
Before DJ?
Chance
Golbranson.
Ben Golbranson. Did you feel good about Golbranson?
No, I think people debated him. Some would like talk themselves into him as the experience thing. Probably DJ, given what the season kind of was in an anticipation.
He wasn't
standpoint.
Terrible. Like, his numbers weren't terrible, but he wasn't quite the
and
player.
And then they did
thought.
The Aiden Childs stuff, which was odd in terms of what you're doing there with an experienced quarterback, and then you take him out randomly in a series for
and
him to play one play.
Javonte McCoy and Chance Nolan in
it's,
there. And
it's been a minute, man. It's like when you say going into a season as an Oregon State quarterback, I do think, if we're being fair, DJ was that. Before that, I mean, you're probably talking about Sean Mannion.
Yeah. Jake Luton. Jake Luton had a good year 2019.
Oh, Jake Luton's not a bad
28 one. 28-3. I was going back step by step, year by year. I was like, I kind of forgot about
but
Jake
But you
Luton.
Didn't feel about Jake Luton that you felt about...
No, like he's going to go win us a game
Sean Mannion or even maybe DJ who had the experience. The running game, you know, that's just the element here. Because you look at the offensive line, you're looking at a lot of red shirts, a lot of sophomore juniors in that category. Mm-hmm. We know Van Wells is going to be back now, so that's going to change kind of everything for what they are. And we heard it yesterday because Shepard was literally wooing in the background when you even brought up the question.
Yes.
Cornell Hatcher, A.J. Newberry. These are two running backs that I expect that if you can get some semblance of a push, those are guys that I think can give you decent ground game. And if you do that, what is that going to open up for the transfer receivers, for the guys that are coming back? And again, that tight end room is an area that I think the coaching staff feels very confident in. So if you get the ground game going, and ideally if you're hanging in it, your ground game's probably at 140 yards, 130.
Yeah, you feel good about that.
I think if you can get
against
to that
point. Big 12 defense coming out of it, you feel good about that.
That's asking a lot because it's a makeshift group versus a group of a power four team, but I think they have the running back talent to be able to make an impact on the game and open it up a little bit for Atkinson.
Here is the other side of it. How about old Willie Fritz? What's old Willie Fritz bringing to the table? Here he is on Oregon State.
Yeah, there's some guys that they're going to play that we're probably not prepared for.
Oh, I love
your
chances
now. Right now, game one is really more scheme than anything else. And like I said before, we're going to probably play some guys they're not, familiar with. There's going to be some things we're going to do that they're not familiar with, offense, defense, kicking game. That's always what occurs week one. You know, I've been doing this a couple of years, and that just week one's a little bit different. So you got to really, really prepare for what-ifs, offense, defense, kicking game, and then do a lot of work, situational football. And we've certainly done that.
I got to be honest with you. I now kind of want to switch my Big Pack
pick.
That
is a guy that does not have any fear at all about that game.
Overlooking the
Bay. They are not. Absolutely not. You know who they play week three?
They get Texas Tech in week three.
They're going to play some guys.
They're going to play some guys. There'll be some things.
They'll see
some things.
They got some players. That's your answer?
9 seconds.
That's what you got?
Yeah.
To get into anything.
It's like if Isaac Rapp was a head coach. That'd be what he'd say. They're going to play some guys. We're going to see some things.
Football will be played.
I'm now feeling pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. Oregon State.
I don't know about feeling pretty good.
I don't know about upset. I even got a competitive ball game on our hands, man.
I pulled that a couple days ago, and I just laughed at just like how dismissive he seems to be.
Jamarcus Shepard's like, I'm not eating. I need to be hungry.
Rip your heart out of your stomach.
I think what's funny to me is I understand if you looked at just the rosters on paper, you'd understand like Oregon State might be in for a rough season from a win-loss perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I also find, and that's Willie Fritz is just a way more laxed coach from this standpoint. You should have lost that game last year.
Should have lost the game.
You should be coming in with a little more. Yeah, we're ready. You know, last year they had us and we came back at the end there. We're lucky to get that win. Like, and instead he's like, yeah, you know. It's like, all right, cool.
Here we go. The game. My coach ain't going to be eating. Maybe he's going to be eating a W at the end of the day. Man, what's the takeaway on Tuesday?
Is he going to go Jameis Winston?
You have to at that point if you haven't eaten yet. What's the takeaway Tuesday if they win the game? How tight are your pants?
I think you're reevaluating. I mean, you're not changing Texas Tech, I think, because Texas Tech's a level above Houston.
We'll get to that in a moment.
You're reevaluating
the extension for Jamarcus Shepherd.
I mean, at that point, yeah, dude, I might give it to you. 5-year extension after one game. Let's go. Who cares about what happened with Tinkle? I don't know. I don't care if that age is poorly. We're holding on to you, man.
If you beat Houston, they should come back in their first home game and allow fans that want to participate early before kick to storm the field.
Yeah, do a field storming before the game. Okay, thank you, everybody. Back to your seats.
Now go get ready for the Texas Tech game.
Let's go kick off. It's not a bad idea. Let's stick in the world of college football. We'll get to some Apple Cup thoughts in the final hour of the show. I got some NFL things in my nuggies. Don't forget, we are Spring in the Line today. It's our last preseason edition of Spring in the Line, so get your sponsors in to the fan text line, 503-864-6326. That's coming up at 9:30. Talk about controversies in college football. Did you have drug and sex on your big board? Because that story came out yesterday. And hey, when we're up by 40 in the fourth quarter, still throwing the rock, then you'll know. We'll get to that next on The Fam.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We'll take a stroll around the rest of week one, including the Apple Cup. We have not talked about that one yet today.
I am tired of looking up at my television, and AM Northwest is like, we're having a cookie bake-off this morning.
You want some cookies this morning?
I'm starving. By the way, if you want a snack,
yeah,
I bought a bag of popcorn from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
And it just caught my eye, and it says salty, tangy, spicy, something else. And I'm like, So I stop an employee, and I go, is this good? And she goes, well, I'm probably not the right person to ask. I don't really like popcorn. And I said, okay, but like, what's the flavor? And
like
she
popcorn.
Basically rattled off the five flavors on the bag. And so I bought it, and I instantly opened, and I don't know if I could have hated anything more.
Really?
It became a weird debated flavor of what it is.
Is this good or is this bad?
So I'm not going to eat it at my house. I decided to bring it into work and put it on the kitchen counter and let anybody, if they want, dabble. And I want to know a yay or a nay on the popcorn.
The buffalo flavored Trader Joe's popcorn is elite. Have you tried that one?
I haven't. I just had the buffalo potato chip from Costco.
I'm a big buffalo guy.
Are you?
Give me some buffalo hot sauce on there. Makes me feel good.
But sometimes the flavor doesn't match the sauce.
It does not always do it.
No.
Their popcorn does, though. I will tell you that.
The garlic Irish butter potato chips from Trader Joe's.
Those do it for you? Who doesn't like popcorn?
She doesn't like popcorn getting stuck in her teeth.
I mean, I get that. Nobody likes the fact that it gets stuck in your teeth.
If you get popcorn's the wrong elite, flavor man. Combination, though.
I'm just talking like, if you're just saying in
like
general,
regular.
I don't
she
like
said,
popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's fine to say I don't like this flavor combo
True,
of popcorn.
But popcorn in general?
Who doesn't like popcorn?
She said she didn't like popcorn.
What are you doing in movies? What are you doing?
Probably candy?
One of my go-to snacks just in the middle of the, like, you know, late in the evening, you're sitting around, just go-to is a bag of popcorn. It's undefeated.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And it's healthier than a lot of other
options. Do you do microwave or do you go old school?
I do microwave. Yeah, what do you think? I'm not, you know.
How hard?
Well, the old school way is not. You just put
I'm not saying
olive
it's that
oil
hard.
And it goes off.
Or does you
it,
get
does
an
it
old fashioned
done in two minutes
popper.
And 5 seconds?
Is that your popcorn button time?
I mean, I don't remember exactly off the top of my head how long it lasts. Is it easier than pressing a button?
I don't know. If you go old school air popper, air poppers were all the thing because it didn't need oil.
I do not have an air
Jif
popper.
Is that ones you're talking about over the campfires?
No. You have a little. You'd pour the kernels down in a well, and it was an air fryer, but an air popper.
So it didn't use oil.
It wasn't all greasy.
I use the olive oil in a pot, and then dump seeds in, and then cover it, and it pops within 5 to 8 minutes.
That's
probably.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Big popcorn guy. How about this? We talked about a German politician yesterday who wanted to have sex with his coworkers, led to a fun debate around the office. How about this one?
I don't know if it was a debate as much as it was like, thanks for shouting out one of our sales reps.
I love you, Dave. You're the best, man. How do you feel if you get approached and you're a North Carolina recruiting staffer?
Oh, you saw this?
And Michael Lombardi wants to come barking up your tree.
Oh, I was going to say Steve Belichick.
Oh, don't worry.
You.
We'll get into that, too. Okay, all right. So for people who don't know, Michael Lombardi was the highest paid GM in college football.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
Had him like three times.
We did. He worked around the NFL and Belichick for a long time. Belichick takes a job in North Carolina. Lombardi goes and joins him.
I mean, his entire career is around following Bill Belichick around and taking credit for winning Super Bowls.
Because of Tom Brady, Michael Lombardi has a name that's recognizable. Any hoosies, he's the GM in North Carolina. Again, highest paid in the sport. He's been on leave for months and yesterday abruptly resigned his position and said, I don't want to be a distraction and I want the team to focus on the 2026 season.
Very interesting he chose to do
interesting timing. What else could have possibly happened yesterday? Well, let me tell you, there's a local... I believe it's a TV station, WRAL News.
Yep.
They came out with a report, including sourcing from inside the facilities about what was going on. And the lawyers hired to conduct the investigation questioned people about whether defensive coordinator Steve Belichick used drugs on the job or provided drugs to at least one player, and separately about whether or not a member of UNC's recruiting staff had a sexual relationship with a player. Lawyers are also asked about possible sexual relationships between coaches and recruiting staff, that people said. So all of this is starting to bubble over. It does tie in Michael Lombardi. It does tie in Steve Belichick, who, by the way, Steve Belichick, did he coach last week?
No.
Okay, he's away from the program right now?
He's in a hospital, reportedly.
We don't know where. We don't know why. We don't know what he's going through. He's just away from the football team right now, and Bill Belichick went on to answer questions about it. Then this comes out. Has there been a quicker... I don't know if you went to like a honeymoon phase if you're a North Carolina fan, but certainly them winning was like, hey, how about that? We won a game at least last week, too. By the time you get to Friday, your defensive coordinator might have been having sex with people on the recruiting staff.
I'm going to venture to guess and speak for North Carolina sports fan here. I think they didn't care about last weekend. They won an ugly game by five. I think they're rooting for this to be done so they can be serious.
This one might end it. I don't know if there's...
a very unserious hire from the get, and then the Jordan Hudson stuff started. He brought in Michael Lombardi with zero college experience by, you know, the regards of other general managers, and it's been nothing but a disaster. Cool, you won your game. You're going to lose a lot more, and I think they're going to ultimately fire Belichick, or he'll just randomly resign in the dead of night. This is an awful story. I'm not surprised to find out the follow-up on Lombardi, and the other follow-up is Steve Belichick may have given drugs to players.
The way that guy was licking his lips on the sideline, no matter where whether he was at Washington or New England, I don't care where he was, the way he was licking his lips, that dude's into some weird stuff.
No doubt about it. He's also the son of a, you know, $100 million coach. I'm sure his life has been just totally normal growing up.
Yeah.
His dad gives him all these jobs because it's his son.
Yep. Husky's got to feel like they dodged a bullet there, right? Because he was their D coordinator when that was the first D coordinator hire Jed Fish made for year one. And then his dad came back to coach and took him to North Carolina with
him. Yeah, probably.
At the time, you probably hated him because I think he took a couple of players with him, too. And you're like, oh, what a bastard. Well, but now that he's giving drugs to players and sleeping with recruiting staffers, like, yeah, dude, you dodged a bullet.
Well, I think his son is also married.
Oh, that's nice.
Because there's a report that his wife hates Jordan Hudson.
That's right.
Because the siblings are worried that she's going to steal the estate.
She's taking the money.
Yeah, she's doing the Anna Nicole Smith old oil tycoon thing. think about Steve Belichick, too. I think Husky fan liked it at the moment because, remember, Bill came to Seattle and was like wearing the sweatshirt and consulting.
Their whole thing was the 33rd NFL team, and then Bill Belichick returned to coaching and was like, no, we're the 33rd NFL team.
It's a disaster. There's no shocking development by that. It's more like what's going to continue to roll out about this. If Steve Belichick has to go on leave or is fired and we find out he was providing drugs, how does Bill answer those questions? And then
he won't.
The Jordan stuff,
fade to the background and date his cheerleading girlfriend.
The whole thing is it's been bizarre from the start. It's only been more bizarre since. And it's just, I can't imagine North Carolina fan likes it. I just imagine they're like, let's get out of this. Go hire a real coach and be a little more serious in a conference that, you know, Florida State's in a weird spot. Miami is good. SMU is always a pretty good team, and Georgia Tech maybe, and Clemson. Dude, if you hire the right guys in college, just like that, you can shoot up and be at the top of the standings and be in the conversation. Duke won the conference last year.
Yes, they did.
So North Carolina should get more serious about their football program, move on from Belichick eventually, and hire a real coach.
Somebody tweeted last night, it was such a funny point. Imagine 2 years from now, Rutgers went to the college football playoff and then won the national championship. How does that make you feel? Because that's what Kurt Cignetti just did at Indiana. That is such a good point.
After watching him lose to UMass, it would break my brain to see
Rutgers. I'd have to go back
win.
And look to the last, whoever the coach was at Indiana the year before, like, who did they lose to? Did they
Tom
have one
Allen?
Of those, was it Tom Allen? They had one of those non-conference losses. You're just like, oh my. Just put that, like, watching that game, and now imagine 2 years from now, they fire Schiano, they bring in a coach, he goes playoff national championship.
Do you remember what their record was the year before Cignetti?
I'd be willing to guess not better than 4-8 because they fired a head coach. It's got to be 2-10, 3-9.
It was Tom Allen, by the way. 3-9.
Okay. Did they lose to anybody shockingly?
These were their three seasons before Cignetti.
Yeah.
2-10.
Yeah.
4-8. 3-9.
Of course, right when we come to the Big Ten, they got to figure the rest out.
11-2. 16-0 with a natty. That is.
Still breaking my brain.
I don't know if I'll never break my brain that they did it.
It will always break
even
my brain.
Even if he reigns supreme for 5 years.
Yeah, even if they win four more, it's still going to be like, what? Indiana?
How did this all transpire?
Another news on a team who Oregon State will be playing relatively shortly. I'll get to that. A quote from somebody associated with their program. We'll take a little peekaboo at the entire slate of week one. Any upsets that we're sniffing out there? We'll get to the Apple Cup. And then, of course, we will spring the line coming up at 9:30. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour on a football Friday. Don't go anywhere during the spring. 105.1 FM The Fam.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.